where we're moving on.
Broadcasting from atop the Hensler Financial Building in the heart of Georgia's financial district, Kennesaw, Georgia, this is Money Talks.
And we're back. It's Money Talks. I thought this would be a good intro given we were talking about phones with long cords and, you know.
This you is know? A throwback.
You know what I'm saying? This is when you had to go change the channel. Dad said, turn on the Jeffersons, you know.
I had
to go
do it. So. I had two older brothers, so I was named remote control for probably the first 10 years of my life.
RC, I like it.
Not only that, but you had to move the antennas.
You know, sometimes you had to hang on to it if the reception wasn't real good. If you stood there and held it, the TV came in.
You try to explain that to kids nowadays. Yeah. They're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
what?
Something's wrong
with you.
What
are you talking about?
A different time for sure.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, but look, before we take, is it Ed's?
Ed Kelly's got a question.
We should send him a bill, by the way, but that's we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it.
He's a good friend.
He is a good friend, and he loves to ask questions, and we love him. Yep. So keep sending them, Ed. But before we do that, we were talking about the S&P 500.
Sure.
And it's performed pretty well this year, right?
It has, yeah. It's up 10% like we talked.
All right, so 10%. And you asked me the question, how many of the stocks in the S&P 500, well, first of all, trick question, how many stocks are in the S&P 500?
There's 505 at the moment, if you look, but it's a lot of it is like dual class.
It's not really 500?
Shares. It's not. Sometimes it's 499. Most of the time it's 500.
I thought it was a trick question.
There's
actually multiple share classes on certain companies,
that doesn't count.
There's 500.
Okay.
We'll just make it simple.
Stole my thunder.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, how many of those stocks, let's just call it 500.
Okay.
Never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
How many of those stocks are down this year? You asked me.
Yes,
I don't know. I took a wag at it, and I couldn't believe how many stocks. So yeah. Tell them.
32% of the individual companies within the S&P 500 are negative at the moment, which is 162 companies. Actually have a negative return while the overall index is up 10%. So what does this matter? Well, we had a question this week about tax loss harvesting, and just as well read through that particular question before we dive too deeply into this, if only I could find my questions. Here we go. So we've got it here. Here we go. Where in the world am I going to find this question? There we go. Christine and Oren from Marietta, with two upcoming tax deadlines, my CPA asked us if we were doing any tax loss harvesting. Is there any stock in the S&P 500 with a loss year to date? Obviously, you know the answer at this point. The index is still up more than 8%. If you add the dividend, it's up over 10%. Can anyone harvest losses, and is it worth doing before the year end? Well, you can harvest losses in your taxable account, so your IRA is out of play here. But here's the thing that happens. You've got the S&P 500 up 10%. You're investing passively, which is a very popular way to invest these days. You buy an exchange-traded fund that's got just the S&P 500. You're up 10% in your taxable account, and guess what? You couldn't take any benefit from the losses that are in that account. Now, you might say, well, a loss in my account is actually going to pull down the return. Of course it does. It pulls down the return of the S&P 500, but still overall you're up 10%. Most active funds stay relatively close to that index if that is what they're indexing to. So just say, for instance, you're up 9.5% on the S&P 500. You've got the opportunity within your portfolio to go in and take losses on those individual stocks that do have a loss. You sell it, so you've actually realized the loss at this point, which is when the IRS allows you to take that discount. You sit out of that stock for 31 days. If it's something you still want to hold when you rebalance your portfolio 31 days later, and why do I say 31 days, Shauna? It's a wash sale rule.
Right.
Yeah, so the IRS doesn't allow you to sell it today, take the loss, and buy it back tomorrow. What you have to do is sit on the sidelines or not own that stock for at least 31 days. So when you take that, you can actually still have your gain, and you can have the benefit of a loss on your taxes, which lowers your tax bill when you have to pay it next April or The deadline, ultimate deadline, like the story says, is coming up October 15th of this year. When you do it like that, when you buy individual stocks, an actively managed portfolio, it actually allows you the tax
benefits. And
it's
never counted in the performance.
Right.
It's never counted. Because at the end of the day, it's not what the return is. It's how much did you keep after taxes.
Right. And who do you know? I wish that we could, but we don't report performance
right.
on an after-tax basis. So, you know, the other way that your portfolio would be impacted during the year is if you rebalance your portfolio, you've got a stock that ran way above its allotted weight, and now you have realized that gain. If you had losses where you could harvest those, and when you sell it, you get to offset that gain that you've taken. So one of the ways, and we like to point them out, where active management of a portfolio actually benefits the end user, especially those that are investing in a taxable manner. So using a brokerage account to invest your money.
Or trust.
162. Yeah, trusts. Some of the things that we were talking about, you know, these family foundations, they don't have as much of an issue, but with a trust, any sort of a taxable account, might be a corporate account. Who knows?
But you could move the appreciation over from the one that's run up and then take a loss and
right.
you avoided the gain altogether,
exactly,
then you
yeah.
have a net loss.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So just out of curiosity, of the 32%, how many of them were large cap? Any idea?
Well, it's the S&P 500. Almost all of them are going to be large cap.
Well, okay, maybe I should say that differently. High quality.
High quality.
I apologize.
Yeah,
there's
a few, but let me just read down some of the names that I note that are all negative this year. Foot Locker, which has been kind
right.
of a retail issue. Under Armour, which is a very popular company. Kroger, down
35%. Wow.
Well,
that might be time to look at that stock.
Man, I tell you what.
that might be time to look at that stock.
yeah. Kroger's business is an easy one to understand.
Yeah.
But some of these other retailers, AutoZone, O'Reilly Auto, you know, both are down around 28%. General Electric, down 21.75%. GE. Harley Davidson.
There's some good names in there.
Target, down 16.5%. I mean, if you own Target, definitely one of the high quality companies, you could benefit from that loss.
Yeah, so I mean, you were sitting here talking about, hey, the market's overvalued, mm-hmm. blah blah blah. Well,
right.
okay, as a whole,
sure.
The answer to that is yes.
Right.
But you have an opportunity if you think Harley Davidson is an icon and it's going to make money over the next 10 years. Here's down how much?
19.5%.
So why would you not sell a stock over here that's up 30%,
right.
I
sure.
mean, if you feel it's overvalued,
right.
and rebalance
technology.
The portfolio. No one's sitting here saying sell out of stocks.
No. Right.
But why don't we do some homework
sure.
and actually get some – and I'm actually asking you the question.
Yeah.
No, you're good. I'm just kidding.
Why don't you? Yeah.
Why don't you?
He's reading about fish bowls.
I'm just kidding.
No. I mean, some
no,
of the
but
others,
you get my – and I'm only
sure,
– you know
no,
I'm
absolutely.
Teasing you.
Sure.
I know you guys are down there pounding it out every day.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of – from a high-level point of view, first, now is the time to free up liquidity.
Yeah.
I understand you're going to be selling stocks that may be paying you 3 or 4% in dividends.
Sure.
To go put it where, Bill?
Yeah.
In money market or CD earning me
sure.
one?
Yeah.
It's a return of principal we're worried about. So if you need money out of your portfolio, our rule is in the next 10 years. Can't be in stocks.
No.
Just go back to 08. That'll
sure.
tell you why right there.
Right.
And then
yep.
01, you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's just our hard and fast rule. And that's how we kind of create the asset allocation. Instead of, hey, you're 60, you should have 60% in bonds and 40% in stocks,
right.
or whatever, the you know, hocus pocus.
Yeah.
Your spending is different. I don't have one client's portfolio that looks exactly the same as another.
No.
It does not. It can't be. They're different ages. They have different withdrawal rates.
Different asset levels.
Absolutely.
Different spending habits.
Yeah. I mean, look, okay, if you have $10 million and you're getting 2% on the portfolio, how much is that? 200 grand?
Sure.
If you spend 100 grand, well, how much liquidity need do you have? None.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're generating 200 grand in cash flow.
Sure.
So
right.
why would I own a bond? I wouldn't. There's no point. Now, you tell that to a person who's 65 years old and has $10 million.
You're right.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Right.
It's not, I shouldn't say prudent. It is not the sleep tight factor.
Sure.
So you start with the 10-year rule and then you sit back and say, can I really sleep with that portfolio?
With 100%
it's the risk question. And it's not just your ability to take risk. It's also your willingness.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're talking about. Why, I mean, why would a person whose spending is totally covered by the dividend and paid on their assets, why would they take any excess
risk? No, absolutely.
Risk?
Listen, if you didn't read my article in the Marietta Daily Journal this week, it's really on that we're running up against the 10-year horizon here, where I shouldn't say horizon, but from the top to where, you know, it's 10 years ago when October 9th, I think,
2007.
Would be 10 years. Right, 2007. So it's 10 years from the Great Recession. And what the difference would have been throwing all your money into the beginning versus dollar cost averaging. And I always get this argument. Well, if you don't throw it all in at one time, you'll miss out. And that, to some degree, that is true. But you would have had 59 months. Was it 59, Kelly Lynn? Somewhere in that. Don't quote me. 59 months of being upside down if you'd thrown it all in October 9th, 2007. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you you didn't have good returns at the end of that.
Right.
What I'm telling you is I don't know too many clients that are basically going to lose money for 5 years
and not
want to do something.
Question what you're doing, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
So if you dollar cost averaged annually one time, is that right? Help me out. I forget.
Yeah, annually.
Then effectively it was like 24 months.
Right.
Well, that's why.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, when times are like this, everybody's having a good time.
Sure.
Right? Oh, the market's up, whatever. I mean, it's
easy
craziness.
To throw rocks at the active investor, too.
Yeah, we'll see you when the market starts going down.
Right.
You know, that's the part where you have to actually, ooh, I just got my statement and it says I'm down 30%.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if it's $100,000 or $1 million. That's real money.
Yeah.
If that's all the money you have, that's where we actually earn our fee, because we talk you off the ledge. We go back to the financial plan. Remember, this is what we said. This is how much you're spending. This is why we have it the way it is.
And this is what your bond portfolio looks like that we talked to you about, avoiding that volatility in the stock market altogether. And this is the only place that you're going to spend your money for the next 10 years.
Right.
So,
or until there's a recovery.
Yeah. So it has there is some comfort factor understanding the buckets that you have available to you.
Absolutely.
Now, if you got more money than God, then, I mean, yes, we still do the 10-year rule planning, but then that's not reality.
Right.
You start doing things a little differently because, you know, just is what it is. I didn't mean to got off on a tangent. Dollar bill. What's wrong with you?
So how do they get a hold of us?
I don't even know. Do we have a phone number?
We
are horrible at marketing.
We
paid our utility bill.
At marketing.
We don't have a mobile phone. We have just a regular business phone. It's connected to the wall. What you're talking about.
So you can call us at 770-429-9166. That's 770-429-9166. Now, if you got questions, like Ed here, you can email us at drgene@hensler.com. That's HENSSLER.com. And if you want to leave a live message, I guess it'll be recorded. A live recorded message, it's 855-429-9166. That's 855-429-9166. And we'll answer your questions next week.
There you go.
And we get tons of these emails. So
absolutely. So Ed Kelly, as you said, has emailed us, and he asks, what do the Hensler folks think of technical analysis and chartists and all that? Is there any actual legitimate studies that have ever shown that there's any value to it? I'll tell you this. Almost all algorithmic trading these days is done using a Fibonacci retracement. Now, what does that mean?
Is that a flux capacitor?
Fibonacci.
It's a big word.
Did you just cuss at me?
I did not. No. This guy back centuries ago came up with a notion, and he used the multiplication of rabbits to describe how these numbers all work. I'm not going to go too deeply into that.
That almost sounds like a dog of the week.
We'll just leave it.
we don't need to know about multiplications of rabbits. But
no.
Let's move on to Fibonacci.
This is not a show about animal husbandry. We're not into that so much. But anyway, if you use these numbers and you apply them to past returns, it supposedly gives you levels of resistance and levels of support.
Right.
Support meaning when it goes down a certain level, once it hits that number, then it should rebound. If it goes through that number, then the algorithm says sell like crazy.
Right.
You remember the flash crash?
I do. Yep.
The flash crash is arguably caused by some of that.
Algorithm.
So they use it a lot, which means that the market tends to do exactly what the algorithm that's loaded into it
right.
is going to show. So I won't throw too many rocks at the use of the Fibonacci retracements and those sorts of things.
Can't believe you pulled that word. I can't believe you said that.
But can you spell it, though?
No.
You can. You want it?
No.
Okay. All right. Hey, man. You call me boring, and then you ask me questions. I get more boring. This is the way it works.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This is good sleeping for a Saturday morning, right? All right. So the other thing that I will say is, as I have seen some benefit to looking at a moving average convergence divergence, which is basically shows you when a stock moves in a certain direction
right.
or the market overall yeah. moves in a certain direction, sure. you can tell that the next step is likely to be down. If it crosses over, it's like a 29-day moving right. average and the 7-day moving average.
Right.
You track those together. When the short term crosses over the long term line, then you assume that it's going to be negative. So that's one timing source.
Is that electronic trading though, when they're triggering?
No, not so much in that case.
Okay.
Yeah, looking at the chart.
Yeah, they're just watching the chart. It tracks sentiment. It tracks basically momentum.
It's another data point for
it
us.
It really is.
You know what I mean?
Is.
So we're doing the fundamental analysis, not trying to tell Troy what he does every day.
Right.
You do the fundamental analysis. Is this a company? Is this an area of the economy we want to be in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And are they profitable? Are right. they growing? You dig down to the basic specifics of the company itself.
We have no interest in doing momentum trading,
right.
where it's like, hey, the market's going up because of all this, so we'll just go into the market.
Right.
We're not doing that.
No.
I mean, now I'm not saying you can't do that. There are people
right.
who have been somewhat successful at
sure.
that. But, you know, I mean, you've heard the Elliott wave theory and,
there's
there's plenty of them that blow up.
Loads
but we
loads.
Don't pick winners all the time.
Right.
It's impossible to pick winners all the time.
Yeah.
Heck, the S&P 500 can't do it.
Right.
Right.
No, it's absolutely true.
So
it's true.
But at the end of the day, you have to build a portfolio around your risk tolerances, you know?
Right.
And a lot of times people think of that as a 10-question questionnaire that tells you, oh, I should be an aggressive or moderate.
No.
Well, it's really not.
No.
At the end of the day, how are you going to feel when you open up that statement and your portfolio is down
sure.
30%?
Mm-hmm. Or watch 40%. The television and it's saying the market's down 5% today,
right.
which is a huge negative move. But,
right.
how are you going to react in the moment? And
right.
To be honest with you, I look at this stuff all the time. In 2007, 2008, I was... you have to fight depression almost when you sit and watch money that you're supposed to be watching over move in such significant ways, either to the upside or the downside. It's unsettling.
Hold on now. When it's going up, we don't really complain a whole lot.
Yeah, but when the day before it was down 8%,
no,
and today it's up 6.
And you sit and look and think,
holy cow, yeah. what's going on? I can't really get a grasp on what's happening. So that's when you really know your risk tolerance, to be honest. But, Ed, to answer your question, in a short form, no, we don't use technical analysis outside of that moving average convergence divergence. We call it a MACD. We'll look once in a while just to see kind of the sentiment of the market.
Are you speaking English?
For a time to enter the market or exit the market, and that's about it. And
yeah.
it's usually on an individual stock.
It is.
So we've done all the fundamental homework, and we know that we want to buy something. Is now the perfect time? We might look at that and say yes or no.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, we don't use them. We'll watch them once in a while, but it's a secondary thing. As Bill
I mean, have
said.
You had any studies that show that they're – I mean, because to me, you have to pick – you still have to make the decision, the right decision twice, when to get in and when to get out.
Yeah.
Right?
No, absolutely.
And I just can't – I know how hard this is. I've been doing it for 25 years, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not – there's – I mean, no.
Yeah, this is obviously
if you could pick the top and the bottom, you wouldn't tell anybody.
No, absolutely.
Right? If I knew when the bottom was, I would not be doing this radio show.
Right.
I'd be on a big old boat in the Bahamas.
That's right. With all your money.
Right. Yep. Well, I wouldn't be there now. I'd probably be
North Atlantic.
But normally.
Right. No. Yeah. But, here's what I would say. Fundamental analysts, you can find loads and loads of investors that have become billionaires in doing that.
Right.
I don't know of a billionaire technical analysts. Most of them are on CNBC talking about it in the afternoon, and while it is fun to watch if you're into that sort of thing, they'll tell you themselves that they picked this because of this particular pattern, and guess what? It didn't work out.
Right.
I mean, it happens. It's not foolproof. Yeah. Yeah. And neither is fundamental analysis. Sometimes right. things happen and
kind of
make you look like a fool. There's no guard against an errant manager, for
right.
sure.
Right.
Things like that happen. Sometimes the market moves against you. An industry might even dry up and blow away. We see that happening somewhat in retail, you
right.
know, at a distance, whether or not mm-hmm. it goes totally that way. But, you know, basically the answer is, I don't put a heck of a lot of weight into it.
Gotcha. All right. And I'm sure you can listen to other shows that'll feel differently about that.
There are some that's all they talk about.
Yeah.
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 But
so,
anyway.
All right. Well, I know we've got like 40 seconds here, so
yeah.
What are we thinking? KSU's going to win this week? What do you think? They lost last week.
I'm telling you, they did lose last week, but, man, they're a pretty tough team.
They're a tough team. It's a good team.
They're fun to watch, for sure.
Market going to be up or down, Shauna?
Up.
Up.
Yeah. Up.
Market's up, man. 74% of the time on an annual basis, the market's up.
So why don't we just put all the money in at one time, then?
It's.
I'm just kidding. I say the market's going to be flat.
Wow. Bill.
Always.
You always say flat.
He's from the Flat Market Society.
That's right.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.